Welcome to What's for Dinner, a radio show about food, cooking, and eating, and sharing favorite recipes from Petersburg, Alaska, and around the world. Brought to you by KFSK Community Supported Radio in Petersburg, Alaska, I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. Coming up on What's for Dinner today, Sunday dinner, new uses for some of those unused kitchen items, recipes for those of us who are carved out, and the drink of the week. That's all coming up on What's for Dinner. Support for What's for Dinner comes from the Hammer & Wecon Grocery Store, offering an expanded organic produce selection, deli, bakery, and meat department, with delivery and van service available. Hammer & Wecon Grocery Store, Petersburg family-owned business since 1921. Welcome back. My name is Mindy Anderson. I'm not a chef. I just love to cook. And I'll admit, sometimes I cook real flops. Of course, the last few days we've been eating kind of Thanksgiving fare, even though we didn't cook Thanksgiving at our house. We had a great Thanksgiving dinner at a friend's house, and the turkey was great. Turkey was amazing, and everything was so good, just delicious. And then, of course, you know what it's like when you don't have any leftovers. But Rodney ended up this weekend, my husband, he cooked a chicken. And then we had lots of breadcrumbs at our house, or, you know, dried bread cubes. So he made a great stuffing. He stuffed the chicken and some mashed potatoes and made some gravy. So we kind of been eating that this weekend like we had our own Thanksgiving dinner. And yes, I am totally carved out. I mean, between the stuffing and the, oh my gosh, I made some really good rolls. I loved these rolls. I'm going to give you kind of the secret on that. I just used my basic bread recipe. And so let's say you're making a few loaves of bread and your recipe calls for 3.5 cups of water. You can take 1/2 cup of, or 1 cup of the water and replace it with buttermilk, and it does make a good roll recipe. So once you mix your water with your yeast and your salt, your sugar, and then you've used a little bit of buttermilk instead, and then you mix it with your flour, and you can just let that sit and rise and a couple hours until it doubles at least. And then from there, use your dough, cut it into small pieces, and just use your hands and fold the dough under itself to make a nice little round ball. And then put those into like a greased 9x13 pan. And I can fit maybe, you know, it depends on how big you want them. Do you want 12 in a 9x16 or do you want 16? You can, or 20, you know, so you can figure out how big you want them, but basically, and then just let them rise until they're doubled again. Put them in the oven on 350 and bake them till they're nice and golden brown. So it's a pretty easy recipe, but the buttermilk just gives them a little extra something. And here I was just talking about being carved out, and I'm talking about making these rolls, but they were so good. I'm glad I didn't end up with a lot more of that left over, because I would still be eating those rolls. So today on What's for Dinner, just a few recipes that are low in carbs. And, you know, until the next round comes along, right, for Christmas, and then we're back at it again. I just wanted to give you this quick halibut ceviche recipe. I've given it to you before. This is my ceviche recipe. I like lots of lime in it. And this is just a healthy, this could be for lunch, this could be a snack. You can, you know, use pita chips if you want. You could use tortilla chips. You could just eat this over a bed of lettuce. You can serve it with some black beans. It's just, you know, do what you want with the halibut ceviche. But I know many folks have halibut in the freezer right now. Here's a good recipe. 1 pound of fresh halibut diced into small pieces and a half of a cup of white onion diced pretty small. Or you could use purple onion. But you want it to be pretty small. And then the halibut, I don't like huge chunks, you know, so it's up to you. I like smaller pieces of halibut. 5 to 6 fresh Roma tomatoes seeded and diced. If you want to, you could use some grape tomatoes. They have a little more flavor this time of the year, maybe. 1/4 cup of fresh chopped cilantro. More if you want more. 3/4 of a cup of fresh lime juice. So it's going to take a few limes for that. Also, you can use your zester and zest a little bit of lime juice in there. Or lime zest, sorry. A sprinkle of the spice mix tagine, put a little bit of sprinkle in there. And then some sea salt and pepper. Maybe you want to put some red pepper flakes in there too. And that's up to you. But you know, the nice thing about the halibut ceviche, once you get the lime juice in there, you can the lime juice is what's going to cook it. So you can really go all sorts of different routes. You know, you can go more of an Asian route with it, or, you know, stick with this, you know, the tagine and the cilantro. So you can do a lot with it. Just give it a try. If you've got halibut sitting around, might as well eat it as a snack, right? You don't have to make such a big production out of making a dinner with it, but and it does keep in the refrigerator for a few days if it lasts that long. Depends on how much you're going to make, but definitely if you're going to a get together and a party, people will appreciate the halibut ceviche right about now. It's going to taste light, has hardly any fat to it. So there you go, and that's pretty much what I have to share today. Recipes coming from my house. Coming up next, I've got some recipes to share that are low in carbs. Oh, and before that, though, do you have a bundt pan sitting around that you don't use much? You can give it some new life. So I've just been searching out, you know, a few tips for kitchen items we have sitting around that maybe we could use in other ways. And the bundt pan, you might have more uses for it, but everybody knows I love cooking chicken. Our family eats a lot of chicken. I think chicken is healthy. You can cook it so many ways. There's so much you can do with it if you know how to use it. And, you know, the grocery stores have lots of different, you know, chicken chicken to choose from, you know, from organic to, you know, bulk quantity. Some are in the frozen department. There's all sorts of chicken options out there. So we like to cook with chicken a lot, and it's fairly inexpensive. But you can use your Bundt pan as a vertical roaster. So nice, juicy bird. It's crispy all around. You can first layer potatoes and carrots and onions in the bottom of the pan, and then season the chicken. You want to season the inside, too, with salt and pepper, season the outside with whatever seasoning you want, and then place it in the pan with the cavity over the center hole. And then set the dish on a cookie sheet to collect any drippings, and cooking sheet works fine. Or you could even use a pie plate. And then roast as usual. So there you go. That's a perfect way to use that Bundt pan. And it's not the time of the year for this, but you might have seen this. You can also use it as a corn holder when you're taking the kernels off of corn. You just cut the corn from the cob without the mess by placing the ear in the center of the Bundt pan. Then as you slide the knife down, the corn will fall right into the pan. And you might have seen it on Pinterest or wherever. I see that one often, and I just, for those of you who don't get on the internet very often, I thought I'd share that one with you too. Also, how often do you use a cake stand? This is the time of the year where you could use a cake stand maybe while you're entertaining for a candle holder. You can make a nice centerpiece out of it for votive and pillar candles. And then for those of you who like pancakes and like to fuss around a little bit more with breakfast for the kids, or you want to get a little fancy, maybe you have relatives coming, you can use your turkey baster as a pancake shaper. You just fill the baster with batter, and then you can squeeze that batter onto the griddle. So start with and then you just squeeze it onto your griddle. So start with shapes, maybe a heart, maybe a letter, and then so start with the outside first, and then you can fill it in. And then you can get up to more complicated designs like little leaves, things like that. So draw the outlines first. And then you can then make some little veins when you're making the leaves. And then you let that brown just a little bit and then fill in the gaps with more batter. So there you go. But you got to have a turkey baster that works. The bulb doesn't fall off the top. We had a problem with that at Thanksgiving. Okay, so there you have it. We'll have more tips about kitchen items you can use for other things next time on What's for Dinner. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. Today, our main topic will be just some low-carb recipes in case you're carved out after Thanksgiving. Potatoes, bread, stuffing, dressing, desserts with sugar, the whole nine yards. Maybe you had a bread pudding. I mean, it can be a lot, even though I love it. I really do. I love bread. I love carbs. My family is a big carb family. But here, the first thing I'm going to give you is a healthy, gluten-free and low-carb bread. I'm not one to really make gluten-free breads, but I want to start learning a little bit more and practicing a little bit more so I can make gluten-free breads for my friends. And I found this recipe from Elena's Pantry, and she says it tastes pretty close to the real thing, and it has a texture of bread and toasts really well. And I checked it out. I'm going to make it this week, and then next week I'll report back. But it looks pretty good to me, and I have most of these ingredients, in fact, all of these ingredients at my house already. So it calls for 1.5 cups of almond flour, 2 tablespoons of coconut flour, and 1/4 cup of flaxseed meal. You can get all of these things at the grocery stores in town. 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1.5 teaspoon of baking soda, and 5 eggs. Also, 1/4 cup of coconut oil and 1 tablespoon of honey, 1 tablespoon of apple cider vinegar. You know you can't go wrong with the taste because all of these things, of course, besides like baking soda, are delicious. Of course, the flaxseed meal doesn't have a whole lot of taste, but certainly good for you. So it already sounds good. Preheat the oven to 350 and grease a loaf pan. Place the almond flour, coconut flour, the flax meal, the salt, and the baking soda in a food processor. Pulse the ingredients together. Add and pulse in the eggs, oil, honey, and vinegar. And pour it into the loaf pan. How easy is that, right? Is that like the easiest? Bake at 350 for 30 minutes. Cool, eat, and enjoy. And we talked about that last week. Make sure you do cool. If you start cutting into the bread, then it's going to lose some of its moisture. So it needs to cool just like meat needs to rest as well before you start cutting into a good steak. So 1.5 cups of almond flour, 2 tablespoons of coconut flour, 1/4 cup of flaxseed meal, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1.5 teaspoons of baking soda, 5 eggs, 1/4 cup of coconut oil, 1 tablespoon of honey, 1 tablespoon of apple cider vinegar. And you just preheat your oven to 350, grease the loaf pan, put all of the dry ingredients in the food processor, pulse them together. Then pulse in the eggs, oil, honey, and vinegar. Pour the batter into the loaf pan. Bake at 350 for 30 minutes. So there you have it. You can make some, I bet you can make a delicious peanut butter and jelly with that bread. Okay, here's another one. Okay, well, so we'll start off with, I've got some one breakfast dish here. This is just your basic eggs benedict, but it's not using, you know, you're not using the bread. But you are using an egg and a ham slice and kind of a lazy hollandaise sauce with just some mayonnaise. So just take some mayonnaise, about 1/4 cup, a little bit of lemon juice. So it's like a lemon pepper mayonnaise. 1/4 cup of mayonnaise, 1 teaspoon of lemon juice, and 1/4 cup of pepper. You blend it all together and heat it, and you're going to serve this on your eggs benedict. And so instead of using an English muffin, you won't use anything. You just, in a small pan, scramble the egg in heated butter. If you want 2 eggs, that's fine. And then if you want to, I don't know if you've seen it before, but you can take like just a round biscuit cutter, or you could use a lid from a canning jar, the ring, and you can use that and, you know, throw your scrambled eggs in that and let it sit. And you can flip it, and then from there you can just use your tongs and take it right off the griddle or your pan and push the egg out of it, and you have a nice round egg. You can also keep the yolk intact that way, too, if you want to. The yolk will just stay right there in the middle. But you could just scramble, too, and then fold the scramble over. That's fine. You just put it onto your ham and then cover with some of this lazy hollandaise sauce. And that's just a quick little Eggs Benedict meal without using the English muffin. So here's a cilantro chicken nugget. And you start off with a pound of ground chicken or ground turkey. I, for one, really don't buy ground chicken or ground turkey at the store. I will grind my own. I'm not saying that that's the kind of ground turkey or chicken that Hammer and Wecon buys or the trading union. However, I just feel more comfortable buying my own chicken and grinding it in the grinder, and that way I know, you know, what's in it. So I would use ground chicken because it's harder to get a piece of turkey just to grind. One egg whisked, one bunch of cilantro chopped, the more the better. Three scallions chopped and 2 teaspoons of sesame oil. Also, you're going to need 1/4 cup of coconut flour and 1/4 teaspoon of ginger, some salt and pepper to taste, and 1 to 2 tablespoons of coconut oil. Also, you can make a dipping sauce, any flavor dipping sauce you want to, with some honey, some stone ground mustard, some white wine vinegar, and you just mix all the ingredients together, the ground chicken, the egg, cilantro, the scallions, the sesame oil, ginger, salt, and pepper, and you heat up a large skillet, add 1 to 2 tablespoons of the coconut oil, place the coconut flour in a shallow bowl, and make small bowls from the nugget mixture. You're going to make them nugget-sized. Place each nugget in the coconut flour and just dust them lightly. Place them in the skillet, flatten out the nuggets a little bit, and cook them on both sides for 5 to 7 minutes. And you can make your dipping sauce. And once they're done cooking, then, bam, you're ready to eat. Kids will love this. So they don't have to be a chicken nugget that has the breading on it. And make them some sauce that they'll like, and a little bit of a dip. And so that's, you know, pretty carb-free. How about a couple just nice salads that are filling? This one is a ginger citrus black sesame. It's got black sesame, also has carrots with edamame and avocado. All of those things go so well together. Carrots are filling, and so is edamame. And avocado, they're just so rich and delicious. This could go with just about anything. It could go with some grilled chicken. This would go really well with some grilled salmon. Lots and lots. It's just, or some shrimp. Or a shrimp skewer, but you can just eat it as is to a salad. You need 5 to 6 carrots peeled, and then the hard thing is cut into matchsticks. But if you just cut your carrot in half, and then you can go from there. You just cut down the carrot and cut them into slices. And then from there, you stack the slices, and then you cut into matchsticks. Or you can use a mandolin. If, you know, be careful with that. And the last mandolin I bought, unfortunately, doesn't work very well. So I need to find another one. But matchsticks aren't that hard to make. It's just a little time-consuming. 1 cup of frozen shelled edamame thawed. And we can find those in the freezer department at the grocery store. 1/4 cup of black sesame seeds, a big handful of cilantro, roughly chopped. You can also use mint. You can use Thai basil. Yum. Salt and pepper, 1/2 of a ripe avocado peeled and chopped. And then you need a dressing. So citrus and ginger go really well together. This goes well with the edamame, goes well with the avocado and the carrots. And like I said, really, this would be great served on the side of some salmon. Quarter cup of fresh orange juice, a juice of one lime, some salt and pepper, 1.5 tablespoons of agave nectar or some raw honey, 1-inch piece of ginger peeled and grated finely on a little microplane. If you don't have one of those, put it on your stocking stuffer list. Or just get one for yourself and put it in your stocking. Couple drops of toasted sesame oil. 1/4 to 1/3 cup of grape seed or other oil that doesn't have a lot of flavor to it. Maybe it'd be just because you just want to have it in a vinaigrette and you want the vinaigrette to taste more acidic. Combine the carrot match dips, the thawed edamame, the sesame seeds, and the chopped cilantro in a bowl. Season the whole mixture with salt and pepper and toss a little bit. Set it aside. Then combine the orange juice, the lime juice, the salt and pepper, the agave nectar, the ginger, and the sesame oil. Whisk it all together until incorporated and slowly drizzle in the oil until you have a nice unified dressing. And then pour that dressing over the carrot and edamame mixture, toss to combine, top with the chopped avocado pieces, and garnish the dish with some more sesame seeds and cilantro. Maybe even want a little squeeze of lime on top of there. Doesn't that sound so delicious? I could eat a whole bowl of that. Here's another good salad. This is a spaghetti squash noodle bowl with a lime peanut sauce recipe. And spaghetti squash is fun because it is. It's like a noodle. And you need a large spaghetti squash. You're going to cut it in half lengthwise and scoop the seeds out. And squash goes so well with kale. So 4 to 5 kale stalks, stems removed. 1 peeled shallot, 1/2 cup of toasted nuts. You can just use your preference. Maybe you want to use pine nuts. Cashews would be super great with this. Also, 3 tablespoons of sesame seeds. Toasted ones, raw ones, whatever. Chopped leafy herbs, mint, cilantro, Thai basil. It all goes well. A bunch of broccoli cut into florets, and some salt and pepper. So those are your ingredients for that salad. And then for the lime peanut sauce, 1/2 cup of fresh ginger peeled and roughly chopped, a couple cloves of garlic peeled and roughly chopped, 1 to 2 teaspoons of sriracha or another hot sauce, a couple tablespoons of peanut butter. You can use tahini, you can use sunflower seed butter, almond butter, whatever you want. Sunflower seed butter would be amazing. 1 peeled lime, chopped. 1 tablespoon of rice vinegar, or other vinegar, like apple cider or white wine, but rice vinegar would work the best. 2 teaspoons of agave nectar, or you can use honey. 1.5 teaspoons of tamari soy sauce. A little scoop of coconut oil. You know, you don't have to have that in there, but it smells so good, that coconut smell. A little bit of toasted sesame oil. 1/2 cup of regular oil or grapeseed oil. And avocado oil is nice, too. You know, you can get that right now in the Costco section. I don't know if Trading Union has it, but I think Cameron Wecon does. Avocado oil is great, and you could cook it on high heat. Preheat your oven to 375. Line a baking sheet with parchment and place the squash halves cut side down onto the sheet. Bake for about an hour or until the flesh pulls away in easy strands. While the squash is baking, you can slice the kale leaves to 1/3 inch sort of ribbons, place in a large bowl, and cut the shallots in half lengthwise. slice the halves into half moons, set them aside, and it really it doesn't matter, just chop them up. Chop up the herbs and the toasted nuts and set them aside with the rest. Once you've cut the broccoli, then set a medium saucepan with about an inch of water over medium heat. Bring it to a simmer and put the broccoli in it. Steam. You can put the broccoli in a steamer basket and set it aside until right before you need it. I don't even use a steamer basket. I just throw the broccoli right in. But you can use a steamer basket. I just use even a colander or a smaller strainer. Works just great. Place all the sauce ingredients in a blender and blend until fully incorporated. And then when the squash is cool enough to handle, you place the steamer basket of broccoli into the pot with the simmering water. Put a lid on it. Allow the broccoli to steam. And while the broccoli's steaming, scrape out the spaghetti strands with a fork into a large bowl with the sliced kale. And then pour a big splash of the dressing into the bowl, season with salt and pepper, and toss the squash and the kale, and top each with some steamed broccoli, some sliced shallots, the chopped nuts, sesame seeds, the herbs, and the extra sauce. So good. And that would go really well with salmon and halibut, too. And shrimp. Yes, yes, yes. And or like even like a crab cake would be good with that, don't you think? Or one of those, some of those nuggets, chicken nuggets that we just talked about. That would be good. Okay, shrimp and grits. I've got a shrimp and grits recipe here. This is from DJ Foodie. And then I also have, of course, what would the What's for Dinner show be without more chicken recipes? And then, yeah, so that, just a few more. Do you have some ideas yet for dinner? I hope so. All right, so shrimp and grits, you need a teaspoon of chili flakes and some garlic cloves, minced. Maybe four bigger ones. A couple pounds of shrimp peeled and deveined. A half a cup of fresh whole butter cut into about 24 cubes and divided. A half a cup of bacon bits. One medium red onion diced. Two small red bell peppers seeded and diced. You know, just all these flavors automatically, they just go so well together. Chili, garlic, shrimp, butter, bacon, red onion, red bell peppers. Also, a half a cup of Mexican-style hominy. You can get that in a can. A couple tablespoons of lemon juice, freshly squeezed. A half a cup of parsley chopped. 4 cups of low-carb grits. And, you know, or polenta in the grocery store. You can find them. They're packaged. In a mixing bowl, combine your chili flakes, the garlic, the shrimp, season with a little bit of salt and pepper, set aside. Heat up a large saute pan over medium heat. Add 1/4 cup of the butter and swirl it around. And before it burns, add the bacon bits, the bell peppers, the onions, and a little bit of salt and pepper. And let those kind of fry in the butter a little bit, stirring occasionally. Then after about 5 minutes, add the shrimp. And stir until the shrimp begins to turn pink, about 2 minutes. Add the hominy and continue cooking for about 2 more minutes. This would be good with kale too, wouldn't it? And then when the shrimp is pink and cooked, add your lemon juice, parsley, the rest of the butter. Turn the heat off and there you go. Stir it until the butter's melted. Put 1/2 cup of warm grits onto 8 plates, top with equal portions of shrimp and serve. Wow, that sounds so good, doesn't it? It's low in carbs. Also, Okay, garlic butter roasted chicken thighs. I'm so into making these sheet pan suppers. You wouldn't believe it. I just love it. I love, because we like having leftovers. Because when I do cook, it does, you know, I try to use fresh ingredients, and I like to cook, but I don't have the time I would like every night. You know, I have a couple jobs. So I do like to make, you know, plenty and have leftovers. So the sheet pan works great, and chicken thighs are perfect for a sheet pan meal, and or chicken legs. So garlic butter roasted chicken thighs with charred lemon salsa verde, and then you can use whatever vegetable you want to go with this. Cauliflower is great. Asparagus, a little pricey this time of the year. It's not in season. Sustainability wise, you know, not a good option this time of the year. Okay. So, we need 8 skin-on, bone-in chicken thighs, 6 tablespoons of butter softened, 2 cloves of garlic roughly chopped, and if you want to throw some in on your sheet pan for roasting, that's great. And remember, you can get them already peeled and everything. Help at Hammer and Weekon, they have them in those plastic containers. 1/2 cup of fresh basil chopped, 1/2 cup of Parmesan cheese grated, 1/3 cup of olive oil, and 2 tablespoons of olive oil. The zest of 2 lemons, 1 tablespoon each of dried thyme, parsley, and oregano, 1 teaspoon of crushed red pepper flakes, salt, and 1 bunch of asparagus, or you might want to use even kale. Also, here's the charred lemon salsa verde. 1 lemon cut into 1-inch slices and seeded. 1 cup plus 1 tablespoon of extra virgin olive oil. 1/3 cup of fresh parsley chopped. 1/3 cup of fresh oregano chopped. 1/3 cup of fresh basil chopped. 2 chopped garlic cloves. 1 anchovy fillet. Yum. And 1 tablespoon of chopped, drained capers, also some kosher salt. So preheat your oven to 450, and then on a cutting board, combine the garlic and basil, and chop the garlic into the basil, and then add to a bowl with butter and the Parmesan cheese, a little bit of pinch of salt. Place the chicken thighs on a roasting pan. You're going to create a little chicken or a little pocket under the skin, so just place your fingers under there. Stuff each pocket with about 1 tablespoon of the butter mixture. You know, that's the butter, the Parmesan, the garlic, and the basil. Yum. And then stuff each pocket with about 1 tablespoon of that, and then you can spread it underneath the skin, and then also on top of the chicken thigh. And then you're going to combine the olive oil, the lemon zest, the thyme, parsley, oregano, crushed red pepper, and the salt. Brush that mixture over the skin of the chicken, and scatter a few garlic cloves around and bay leaves in between the chicken on the roasting pan. Roast for about 30 to 40 minutes, or until the chicken is cooked throughout and the skin is golden. And if you want to, you can baste it with a little leftover oil. The oil lemon sauce if you want to halfway through. About 20 minutes before the chicken is done, you can toss in your asparagus or vegetable with 2 remaining tablespoons of olive oil. Maybe you don't need that much. And then roast for 20 more minutes. And then while the chicken's cooking, you can prepare the salsa verde. So on a baking sheet, toss the lemon slices with 1 tablespoon of olive oil, and spread the lemon slices and bake them for 15 to 20 minutes. You can do it while the chicken's cooking, just, you know, same oven as the chicken. And you're going to char the lemon a little bit, transfer to a cutting board and let it cool for just a little bit, and then chop the lemon slices into small bite-sized pieces. And then add those to a bowl with parsley, oregano, basil, garlic, the anchovies, the capers and the salt. Add a little olive oil, stir to combine, and there you have it. It's a salsa verde, lemon salsa verde. And then once the chicken's finished, remove them from the oven and plate. Serve alongside the verde and along your vegetable. And yum, there you go. That would be so good. And that would be good even with the grits or some spicy baked cauliflower and sweet potatoes would be so great with that. I have this recipe here. This is from Pale OMG, and she's got really great recipes. So a head of cauliflower, you remove the stem and the leaves, and you roughly chop it up, and then a diced sweet potato, a yellow onion diced, 4 tablespoons of like your choice of fat, like a bacon fat or something like that. 1 tablespoon of smoked paprika, 2 teaspoons of cayenne pepper, 1 teaspoon of dried oregano, 1 teaspoon of red pepper flakes, some salt and pepper. Preheat the oven to 375. Add all the ingredients to a 9x13. Mix well. Place in the oven and cook for 30 to 35 minutes until the sweet potatoes are tender and spicy and delicious. You know, that smoked paprika and the cayenne pepper and the oregano, red pepper flakes, that is such a great combination. Such a great combination. And that would go really well with this dish, too. So would those tomatoes. Did we talk about tomatoes? But you can take some tomatoes and slice them in half, Roma tomatoes, and a little olive oil, a little garlic, and some herbs. Throw them in the oven and roast them for a little while. And those just thrown on the side will just add a little bit of oomph to the meal. Well, that's it. If you're carved out, there are some alternatives. If you need any of these recipes from me, just email mindy@kfsk.org. We'll see you at the grocery store, see what you're going to come up with tonight for dinner. Coming up next, we have the drink of the week. Support for What's for Dinner comes from Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, with a large selection of beers, wines, brandies, and rums to cook with, accompany any meal or potluck, or for mixing in a new favorite drink. Keto's Cave and Liquor Store is open 7 days a week. Welcome back. It's time for the drink of the week. This one is doesn't have any alcohol in it. And it's more of a, because we're so carbed out, it's more of a flush, cleanse, and detox water. So really good for you. Can make it by the gallon or half gallon and just keep drinking it. A half a gallon of water, 6 wedges of pink grapefruit. I just don't eat enough grapefruit. Every time I do, I'm like, oh, I need to get more grapefruit. 1 tangerine, 1 mandarin, or a small sliced orange. 1/2 of a cucumber sliced, Might want to take the waxy skin off of it with a peeler. Two peppermint or mint leaves and some ice. Rinse the grapefruit, the tangerine, and the cucumber and the mint leaves. Slice the cucumber and the grapefruit and the tangerine and combine all the ingredients in a half-gallon pitcher and allow the ingredients to sit for 2 hours in the water. Keep it in your refrigerator, maybe add a little bit of ice. Drink throughout the day. There you have it. Just a nice, fresh, fruity, delicious water for detoxing. It's making me thirsty. Thanks for joining me today. We'll be back next week with more recipes. We'll see you at the grocery store. We're going to detox a little, but we'll be back at it. Or at least I will. I can't get rid of all the carbs yet, but just for a little while. Coming up next on KFSK, Bluegrass Music. And then at 4 o'clock, All Things Considered, and then KFSK News at 4:30.